Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Redmen TV. It's the build-up show for the Watford game after the United game. Ben, We need to bounce back after United.
We absolutely do. We've just done the Man of the Match podcast and you know, you guys talked about how you don't want to talk about Man United anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think the best course of action here is just go, we need to bounce back after United. All three of us say, yes, we do. And then we'll talk about Watford. I think that's probably the best way of going about this.
Well, I mean, we've kind of got to mention United, which is the hard part. Leanne, the attack needs to start performing. It's two games now. It's been the Bayern game, the United game, where it just didn't click for some reason. And we need to start firing again there, don't we?
Yeah, I think with the amount of injuries United had, especially in that first 25 minutes, it was the weirdest game I've seen this season.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people have said Klopp was wrong to kind of suggest that that's why we play badly, but it does affect your rhythm.
Yeah.
And, you know, the challenge Liverpool had was to try and build up ahead of steam in a game where it was kind of impossible. So that didn't help the front three, but you're looking at players like Genie and Keita who didn't even play, didn't even come on.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of game where you need someone to be bursting from midfield to give them service. We didn't have that. Salah, I thought, was really poor again.
Yeah.
Worse than Bayern Munich, probably. And Mane as well. A lot of people were saying that's going to be his game. Mm-hmm. And he just didn't deliver.
Yeah.
Credit to United, the way they defended. But yeah, it was bad performance from the front three.
I mean, Ross, in terms of that then, do you think it was tactical in terms of how, like, because we lined up on the edge. We're not going to do that against Watford, surely. I mean, obviously, it depends on how they set up against us. But do you see us kind of letting Salah and Mane get a bit more deeper and then run at players like we know that they're very, very good at doing? You want to see more of that yourself?
I think it depends on how Watford set up. I think you need to assess the game 10, 15 minutes in. Like, I know it's difficult when you play United making so many changes and stuff, but we've seen, we've played like Brighton and there was another team I can't remember and nothing was happening. Mm-hmm. And then second half, Salah dropped deep and then the next game he started deeper, well, from the start again. And things are working out because he's able to pick up the ball, he's able to drag people out of position. Normally, as again, I said it before, you'd have Firmino in behind to create and do little one-touch passes and stuff. It's the in-game management that needs to change for me. We're doing the same thing over and over again until we got to half-time and we stopped giving the ball to Milner and then we were trying something else different. But then it's keeping other people guessing as well. Like Watford is just saying, well, we tried one thing, it's not working. We've so many facets to our game. We can do something else and we can hurt you because we've got the quality of players to do it and we can switch wings. We did have the ability to bring on Shaqiri, which is, I know we talked about, I don't know why he didn't come on. I think he'll start this, but you know, there's different options that we've got and we just don't seem to use it as often against Munich and Man United that we should have done.
No, yeah, it's fair. I mean, there's a big blow in there. Obviously, you're talking about your Man United injuries. There's a reason why our attack wasn't very good against United and it's Bobby Firmino getting subbed off. Is that going to be a massive factor for you, do you think, Ben?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's up there in terms of important players. You know, Salah gets the goals, but Firmino in terms of linking everything up, especially when we play a 4-3-3, in terms of importance, is up there with Van Dijk and the goalkeeper for me.
Yeah.
What I miss about, really, about the front three, and Firmino may not play this week. I mean, you know, we've left him out of our teams, I think. It's the fluidity of them. They don't seem to be as moving across as much as they did last season. It seems as if, you know, for me, if I was the manager, I was playing 4-3-3, I'd just say, well, you know, Firmino's starting in the nine, but you're never going to necessarily stay there. You know, just move across. You don't see it as much now that Salah's coming over to the left for 10 minutes and Mane's playing central, and that's really what contributed a lot last season to, you know, defenders struggling to keep up with what we were doing, really, because it was so fluid. And especially when you bring on Sturridge, you lack that even more because Sturridge Sturridge doesn't really do any of that. He doesn't do the running that the other two do, and certainly doesn't do the running that Firmino does. So I think whoever we decide to bring in tomorrow, I'm hoping it's Shaqiri, mm-hmm. and we play. I say tomorrow, whenever this goes out, on Wednesday night. I'm hoping it's Shaqiri because that allows us to play Salah central, and you will get a little bit more fluid movement, particularly between him and Mane if he does that.
Is that how you remedy that then, yeah, and literally just put Salah in the centre? Do you trust Origi or Sturridge to come in and be able to make the same kind of impact that you need Bobby or Salah to do?
Yeah, I think it's a really good point about the interchanging of positions, but I also think with the United game that a big factor was James Milner. Mm-hmm. He was always the free man, always getting space out wide. Van Dijk picked him out several times.
Yeah.
But he didn't do anything with the ball. And that's where you need someone like Trent. I can understand the decision maybe because Rashford had him last game. But I think that's the case where United have got loads of injuries. They're kind of sitting back. You need your wide players to really get balls into the box. And it almost was like James Milner thought Andy Carroll was in the box.
and we're
back to the Roy Hodgson days of just hoofing it in and seeing what happens. And that's not really Liverpool's game at all. They need to be moving around. They need to be interchanging positions. And I think, yeah, Sturridge and Origi, if they do come in, they need to step up and do that. Whether they will, I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, it's a very good point about the wings, because that's something I love about Liverpool playing football, is you're watching Robertson, who's got a fantastic ball on him. James Milner's got a good ball on him usually. But the way that was so dangerous is them people getting overlapped. We didn't seem to get the hold-up play from Mane and Salah to then let them go to the byline, and it's them low balls across the box, like you say.
Yeah.
Them loop balls, United let them up all day, and Watford will do the same because they're Premier League side, aren't they? And they're really good. I mean, do you bring Trent back into this game?
Definitely, yeah. I don't think Milner can play so many games. I think rather Milner for Everton, mm-hmm. at some level, even if he comes on as a substitute, I think you need that experience going into this business end of the season, that experience head, which is part of the reason why he played against United, as well as Trent getting put on toast by Rashford the last season.
He's a set piece taker as well, isn't he?
Yeah, his delivery's normally quite good, but again, I think credit to United for defensively the way they set up, and again, the movement that we lacked contributed to him looking poor. There was a moment where he put a cross in, he turned around, was having a word and saying, "You'll make some sort of movement for me because I can't do anything."
Yeah.
He's not one to go and beat a man like Trent. Trent can cut in on his left. We've seen against City and ping a ball to the other side to Robertson. There's a number of occasions that he's done that. Trent starts for me. I think he's going to want to push on. He's at Anfield. We're going for the league title still. And he'll be fresh.
Yeah, no, that is very true. I mean, Leanne touched on it before, Ben. It's them runners from midfield. Is that a case of, look, Genie's played a lot of game time. He did that against, what game was it? Was it Bournemouth, where he loops the ball over the top?
Yeah.
Great running and beyond. Henderson did it a tiny bit against United. But is this one of them where you think Keita just comes in and builds on his recent performances and be that link between midfield and attack that we didn't have against
United? Yeah, I think this is a game. I mean, we had a lot of the ball against Man United, mm-hmm. but I think this is a game where we expect to have a lot of the ball, and therefore it suits Keita, because when he does his best work when he's got the ball, he's around the centre circle and he can drive forward. Henderson for me is better in a game where we don't have the ball, because he reads the play very well. Mm-hmm. He makes a lot of tackles. He does a lot of running. He's good in games like this, but I think that's part of the reason that he took him off yesterday, rather than Wijnaldum. I think when he made that substitution in the second half, there was a case for taking Wijnaldum off, but because we had so much of the ball, I think when Wijnaldum plays with Fabinho, that's our best two of the midfield. So I think we're better off playing Keita, purely because, like I said, we're going to have a lot of the ball. We're going to be the team applying most of the pressure, and I think that's where Keita.
So you're
is
taking
best.
Henderson out of that midfield to put Keita in?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I mean, is that your thinking as well, Leon? In terms of, do you want to see that Genie Fabinho midfield? Obviously, we've got the teams, and we'll speak about them in more depth and detail later. But is Henderson the man who drops out for you in this game?
Yeah, I think he is. It's not because of his performances against United and against Bayern. I thought he was really good, especially against Bayern. But I think Keita and Genie, they are a bit more dynamic going forward. They can find that link play, which you were talking about. And people say Keita's not got a goal or assist yet, but he did come very close against Bournemouth.
Yeah.
He is starting to turn the chains and starting to provide, getting that communication with the front three as well. And this is the type of game where, as Ben said, the onus is very much on us to attack. And someone like Keita, he's going to be up for that. He's got a point to prove as well, having not played against United. So I think, I do feel sorry for Henderson, but Keita has to come in.
Fair enough. I mean, like I said, we will talk more in depth later, Ross, about the teams that we've picked. Last time out, when we played a midfield of Jordan Henderson, Jorginho Wijnaldum, and I think it was one of the first times we'd seen them together in that two, and it worked really well. Look, we won 3-0. You've gone for the three in midfield this time. We tried that the past two games, haven't we, and it's not really worked. But are you going to stick with that and hope that it sort of pays dividends from now on?
Just touching on that interchangeability stuff, so you say 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1, it's a fluid formation,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
wherever you look at it, and you know whether you're in possession or out of possession. There'll be in game management again. There'll be times where the reason I picked Gini Wijnaldum was because I think he can make runs forward, and Keita can stay behind him, or Fabinho can make runs forward, and you've got Gini behind him. It's them that three works well. I'm not saying Henderson can't do it, but we've seen it. And the reason I think Gini wouldn't play is because I think he's knackered, he'd be goosed. But I just think the communication, the good games that Kate has played, Gini's been with him, and Fabinho's been in that three as well. I want to keep that momentum going, communication going, and I think they trust each other going forward and stuff. Like, again, I do feel sorry for Henderson. I don't think he's put a foot wrong. But then again, you've got one eye on Everton, and I think, not that you need your captain for the Everton game, I think I'd rather have someone fresh to put on a defensive display, which Henderson will do, and cut out the midfield for Everton.
No, that's fair. I mean, there's a talking point that I want to bring up, because last time I went to Anfield, it was nervy. And it's one of them. We're back at Anfield for a Premier League game. So obviously we played at Old Trafford the other day. And then before that, it was a Champions League game. We get up for them. The crowd is fantastic. But for me, I want to know what this crowd's going to be like. I really want to see how Anfield's going to respond. Because if it's nervy all the way through, I really wonder how the players are going to react to that. Obviously, we had, last time it happened, Van Dijk was going, look, we need you to come behind us and help us. And whenever I go to Anfield, I sing for the whole of the game as much as I can. And I'm just wondering whether the fans are going to be up for it, Ben. Do you reckon that they're going to stay behind? Because say we don't score for 30 minutes and it starts getting nervy and frustrating. Is what effect do you think that'll have on the players, if any?
Well, I mean, all you've got to do is look at Leicester. The Anfield crowd is one of the most unpredictable things, because the Leicester game is the perfect example of City had lost the night before, and I arrived there basically expecting a real good atmosphere. Yeah. You know, we were really up. We scored dead early, and then it kind of tailed away. Even before Leicester had scored, just before half time, there was quite a bit of moaning, and you know, it just didn't feel right. And then obviously, as the second half went on, and we were still level, and it was getting more frustrating. You could see the effect that was having on the players. And in the end, Leicester had opportunities to win it as well. But then Bournemouth was dead good.
Yeah.
So it's just so up and down. And I do think that on the back of Man United, really, I would, to be honest, unfortunately, I would expect another atmosphere like Leicester.
Mm-hmm.
But you just don't know, because then again, the crowd was so good against Bournemouth. I'm hoping that the majority of the people who went to Bournemouth and are going to Watford as well, myself included, are going to go, well, I'd rather it be like Bournemouth than Leicester.
Yeah.
So I'm going to sing. But you just never know. You just never know. With it.
Well, we got asked to last time. Do you reckon it'll just happen organically?
I think it might be both, because there was some tweets doing the rounds, wasn't there? Like, get behind it, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to put that back up myself,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, may as well.
I think it'd be different because City won't have played before us, and it's that close to the point in it where we need to play our part regardless. So you can't speak for a whole, well, not the whole fan base, but everyone who's in that crowd, telling them, expecting what they can do.
Yeah.
But I think there'll be a point where we'll start something, but then the players again need to show us a performance to get behind as well. The Leicester and, well, not the West Ham game, Leicester game didn't show what we can do. Mm-hmm. Bournemouth, we did. And that's what, you just play off each other, and that's what happens. I know we scored early and it died down. But then, just need to do the same again. I know it's dead easy to say, go and score an early goal, or just give us some sort of encouragement that the attack's working again.
Keep the
pressure. Because
that's
not helped yet. And with Bayern Munich, it never happened. But then Bayern Munich defensively were brilliant. And I don't think people think about that during the game, going, oh, actually, they're good.
I mean, a factor into this, Leanne, is Alisson making a few dodgy passes and that and stuff. But our defence lately has been quite good, and I think that plays into a lot of nerves. But the fact that we've got three clean sheets in a row, and obviously you talk about, oh, okay, two draws, and we're kind of disappointed with that. It's nice to see, after a little spate of conceding a few goals in a game, we've kind of took that out of our game, especially with Van Dijk being back on the side, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's a bit like the start of the season when the defence was doing really well and the attack wasn't clicking. We've kind of gone back to that now, which is great from a Liverpool point of view with the way the defence has been in the last few years. Van Dijk coming back from that Bayern game as well has kind of shored things up a bit more. But I think now Liverpool need to kick on and they need to kind of get their attack working if they're going to get this title. In terms of the crowd, I also think the defence could play a part because you look at that Bayern game and one of the big moments was when Jordan Henderson just flies in with a tackle. Halfway line, nothing really happening, and he flies in, the crowd goes mad. So that's going to be the type of thing. Liverpool need to come out straight away, need to get at Watford, and they need to get this crowd going, and the crowd need to get them going. It's both players and fans have to do it. Fans can't expect the players to do it. And likewise, I completely understand Van Dijk and Jurgen Klopp coming out and saying, you know, this is silly now, because I understand Liverpool fans want to win the title badly, but we're still 1 point ahead and everyone's talking about how good City are.
Yeah.
We're still ahead of them.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's a symbiotic thing, isn't it, where you've got to spur people on, and there is literally nothing better than when... The best one for me was Arsenal, where Bobby Firmino gets the goal and then everyone's up, and then I think that spurs him on to then rip about four players and tuck it in the corner, and there's just something special about that, and it been cultivated since after Everton, I think. Obviously before it as well, but that Everton one gave us the rise of, like, now every single game I expect us to carry on doing. I was really surprised against United how it petered out, because every game this season we've seemed to just keep it moving and keep it going and never give up because of that Everton thing. I really, really enjoyed it. Let's talk about Watford a little bit. The seventh in the league. The last 10 games, they've won 6, drawn 3 and lost 1, and that loss was against Spurs. They're off the back of a 5-1 win against Cardiff, and largely the same team that played us last time. Kiko Femenia, I think that's how you say it, he played against us last time, but Jan Matt was in there that time. They played really well against Cardiff, didn't they?
They were very, very good. I watched it Friday evening. I watched the sort of the extended highlights on Sky, because I thought, well, I knew they'd won, and I knew De La Feu would score a hat trick. And I thought, well, they're playing us. I'll tune in. They were really impressive. They play some really good football.
They do, yeah.
And it's funny because Watford, don't they have a trend of basically changing the manager every season? I can't imagine that they'll be doing that this year, because at the moment they're seventh in the league. Again, we touched on it before about tiredness of the players. It'll be interesting. They've had a couple of days extra rest here. And, you know, how important will that be, especially when we played an intense game like Man United, we've got another intense game next weekend in Everton. You know, how much of a factor will that be? You know, this isn't an easy game at all for me. This is a tough one. This is up there with the Wolves and the Leicester, that sort of, you know, area of the league, and, you know, it's a
tough one. It is. I mean, you look at some of the players in there, Leon. Troy Deeney 7-24, De La Feu 6-20, Pereira 6-25. De La Feu kind of bolstered that against Cardiff. He got a hat trick. Troy Deeney got two in that game. How do you think we're going to cope with their wing play? Because De La Feu, like, obviously didn't really work at Everton and stuff, but he's a good little player in there. Troy Deeney, in terms of holding up the ball and letting people play off him, is fantastic. Sometimes you watch him and just think, and he played really well against us as well. Do you think, well, first off, what do you think about Watford, and how do you think we're going to combat that?
I think, you know, as Ben said, they're a very, very good team. They play good football. And I think I made this comparison before with other teams in the Premier League, but they kind of remind me of a Bournemouth-type team and a Crystal Palace. They've got a very, very strong defensive picture. They've got two good defensive midfielders in Kapu and Decore.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that partnership and the space they've got in front of them, and then the players like Will Hughes who can provide that link play and play off Troy Deeney, I think they've got such a good structure there that it's going to be very, very difficult to break down. And obviously that, again, plays into the frustration of the crowd. How Liverpool have to approach it, though, is they have to get their fullbacks right up the pitch. Yeah. Trent has to be pushing them back.
Yeah.
And we saw that with Milner against United, and it didn't quite work because of the deliveries, as we said earlier. But Trent has that capability. He has that sort of prowess in the final third, and that's something that we need to do. We need to get our fullbacks up so they can't attack.
Yeah.
I do expect them to play quite counter-attacking football, just, you know, hoof it up to Deeney, hold the ball, and that's going to frustrate people. But
they did that against Cardiff. Like, a few of their goals were off the breaks, off a corner and stuff, Ross. And Like, we talk about how good we have been defensively. We need to be really good at recycling play there, don't we, in terms of, right, they're going to sit back, you'd expect, coming to Anfield. I mean, they have some great players. They're going to hit that to Troy Deeney and then hope De La Feu can make the run off him. And well, that's at least how I expect them to play. We should have enough there, though, really, in terms of Virgil van Dijk's fantastic. If you expect John Matip to play, he's fantastic in the air. I think he's winning 74% of his aerial duels. So if Troy Deeney has to pick one of them to stick with, and both of them are so strong there, but how do you see it going?
Well, first of all, I don't think we should use the Cardiff game as a marker, no. Because defensively they are shocking.
The 17th, like, yeah,
Championship, probably, like League One defensively, they're terrible. Watford will take confidence from that. The other thing as well is, I don't remember Troy Deeney when we asked who's the best or hardest centre back, and it was Virgil van Dijk. Yeah. He's like, just can't get near him, but he spells nice or something.
Yeah.
But psychologically, yeah. Seriously, that's, he's already got the edge on him there.
Yeah.
And Joe Matip, the way he's been playing, we mentioned before, the run of games that he's had, the confidence he's going, the performances that he put in, he's building confidence as well. So I think he's a cert for me to start. Just, even if Lovren's fit, it's Matip for me. And then I think, going on to the wingers, I think we are capable enough of, and being used to counter-attacking teams, as you mentioned, of going, well, we'll put our wings forward, but then that's the whole point of having the two in midfield, because they'll, again, the fluid formation thing, they'll just drop in and cover while they get back. So I think we've got enough quality. I'm not disrespecting Watford at all. They are a very good team, and a physical team as well.
Yeah.
Again, which is why I started Fabinho and Gini, because, you know, Gini can shove three players off the ball if he wanted to. We saw Robertson push Lukaku off the ball yesterday. I think they do provide a threat, but I think we're capable enough of controlling it.
Yeah.
Given the fact that, like you said before, of front three have been terrible, well, this is the first time we've been able to go, well, attacking, we've been crap, but our defence has been great.
Yeah.
That's a facet we've not had in 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about that midfield. That Decore, I properly like him as a player. He is one of them just combative midfielders. I would like him at Liverpool, I'll be honest. I don't think he's got the quality, really, in terms of what we need, but he's just so good. I'd like him as a rotation player in there just to break stuff up. For me, it is one of them. I think you're exactly right, Leanne, in terms of pushing our fullbacks up. It was the buying game and Robertson got ripped, and it was the first time I'd seen any frailty from him, and it got me worried. And I don't know why. I'm not worried. Robertson's amazing. But, like, it was just something of, right, no, do what you're best at, mate, and pin them back and put balls in for us, because, like, think about how many goals we've scored where Salah's just freeing on the far side and Robertson picks him out with an unbelievable ball. I want to see that all day. And as much as Watford will counter-attack us, I think we've got them. I really do. I'm always confident about Liverpool. I always think we're going to win because we are absolutely fantastic. Another thing that was fantastic, if you like that little thing. Now, basically, we did an interview with Thomas Gronemark. Chris sat down with him. It was really, really good. Proper eye-opening into how he basically works with the club and what he does with the club and his longest throw. He's got the Guinness World Record for the longest throw and how that kind of came about. But yeah, here's a little clip from that.
So I just took the phone and then listened to the answering machine, and then it was Jürgen Klopp. I was totally amazed. And a lot of people have asked me, oh, didn't you think that it was someone who was making fool of you? And I said, no, because I've heard Jürgen's voice a lot of times on television. I could hear it was him. So I just said it to my wife. I tried to call him. Now I was just, you know, totally out of my mind.
Yeah.
And I called him, but he didn't take the phone because I think he was busy. Perhaps he also called me, you know, some minutes before and so. So I just thought, hey, I just want to go home and then make this call to, so we have quiet time and so on, so we can do it without any disturbance and so. But then we're just driving, and I was driving the car, and my wife was sitting next to me, and then the phone rang, and then she took the phone, and then she said, it's Jürgen. Then I just took the car and then I just drove out to a grass field or so. And then my wife and the kids just went out on the grass field. Yeah, and it was standing here, sitting here and talking with Jürgen. And then he asked me if I would like to come to Melwood the next week just for a meeting. And he told me, he, even though Liverpool had a good season last year with the Champions League final and the fourth place, then they were very bad at throwing.
So yeah, there's a little clip from it. It was funny as after we did this interview, the Bournemouth goal happened where it came from a throw-in, and I think Chris messaged him, or he gave Chris a message, and he was like, I was made up with it, because that shows it's all about smart throw-ins and the transitions through them and the movement in between. And then literally a few days after we did the interview and we put the interview out, we scored a goal from that. And it is very, very interesting. Lovely man as well. Really, really good stuff.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
But yeah, let's talk about our preferred 11s. Ross,
yeah,
you have gone with Alisson, Trent, Matip, Van Dijk, Robbo. All of us have gone for that, to be fair. Then you've gone for the midfield of Gini, Fabinho, 4-2-3-1. Then you've gone Shaqiri, Keita, Mane, Elanga, and then Salah up top. Why have you gone with that?
Because I don't trust Origi or Sturridge.
Is that it? Is
it's one of the reasons. I don't think... We spoke about it before. Sturridge to come into that Liverpool side just wrecks it for me. And
Is it the fluidity stuff?
It's the fluidity, the work rate, the fact you have to adapt your style to kind of suit him, which I know in hindsight you can say, you know, it is whatever. But again, he played against Chelsea, and you can say, oh, he scored a screamer. Even to the point when you said, don't shoot, and he shot and he scored.
Yeah.
These players that you're trying to replace Firmino with, you expect to step up. And I think, particularly against United, Klopp was disappointed, not as much as he tried to blame other stuff where you can look for excuses. Ultimately, some of the players let him down in the performances, even the ones that started. I don't really like Salah in the middle, prefer him out wide. But I think in this case, I want to see Shaqiri create, because it's something that we lacked against Munich, something we lacked against Manchester United.
And you've got him on the right-hand side.
Yeah, I think he can provide that. But again, you know, we've mentioned it a couple of times now, it's about switching up. So Kate might play in the 10, but you can easily see Gini in there as well. Not a direct 10, I know it'd be more of an 8, but you can see him bombing forward and Kate getting back. Shaqiri, Salah, Mane, like Ben said before, just go and cause havoc. Go and show these Liverpool fans that you can go and destroy Watford.
Yeah.
And again, another statement, another chance to put a statement down and, you know, stay a point ahead in the league. Trent back in because he can provide quality balls into the box, because I think Milner will probably be goosed from the Man United game. We don't know if Lovren's fit or not at time of recording, but again, as I said before, Matip has done enough for me. Even his third, fourth choice centre-half, I think his quality, considering what we've been through in the past couple of years, if even your second choice centre-half was crap.
Yeah.
And I think he's done really well.
No, that's fair. Leanne, last time you were on, did you pick a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1?
I picked a 4-2-3-1.
You picked a 4-2-3-1, so you're sticking with that. Is that just why have you gone back to that two midfield? Is it the cover for the wings? Is that what it is?
I think that's a factor, but it's also it kind of allows Keita to be a bit more free
and
move forward. I've got him in the 10, yeah, and I agree. I prefer Salah out wide, but I think this is the type of game we touched on it earlier with Cathcart and Mariappa and how strong they are. And I think it's the type of game where Liverpool needs someone who can move off them. They're not particularly fast, and so he can play little 1-2s with Shaqiri and Mane, feed off them and go in behind and run in behind. And that's what Liverpool need to do.
Yeah.
Whereas someone like Sturridge or Origi, what they offer Liverpool, they can do from the bench. So Salah, he needs that movement straight away. Sturridge, he can come on and he'll score a screamer, but he could do that in the 80th minute. He doesn't need to come on and be there from the first minute, because against United, he wasn't pressing, and Liverpool really need to get at this Watford team.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, Keita, he has a licence to roam in that number 10. He has a licence to create, and that's what Liverpool need to do.
I'd love to see him get that first goal for us as well. It'd be like, we talk about Mo Salah being in the centre, and then, but he always shifts over to that side anyway, so it'll be really nice to see that, I think. Ben, you've gone for a 4-2-3. You've stuck with it.
Yeah. I mean, it could be either, but yeah.
But I guess it's the same players that Leanne have in there, but it's just set up to start with in a different way. Fabinho in the six, Gini and Keita as the eight.
Yeah, I think, as Ross said before, it's a fluid thing. So obviously we trust Gini at this point to be able to drop in alongside Fabinho if he's playing an eight, and basically turn that into a 4-2-3-1. So it's either or. I mean, It never strikes me, as long as we start with Salah and Shaqiri, because given that how little Sturridge offered against Man United, I'm not too bothered what formation we play. I think we're probably more likely to play the 4-2-3-1 because we haven't really seen Shaqiri in the 4-3-3 out wide.
Have we seen Keita in the 10 this season?
No, it's been more of a...
But we have seen Shaqiri sort of in that 10, haven't we, in terms of breaking?
Yeah.
So, sorry to interrupt you, Ben, but do you reckon, is there a case there for Keita to go on the wing and Shaqiri to go in the 10?
I don't think he was very good on the wing. Keita played on the wing against Palace, and he was fine. But again, I think right now, it's all about improving the confidence of Keita and helping him. And I think playing him on the left again isn't going to help his cause. I think here again, as we touched on before, we're playing a team. We're going to have a lot of the ball against. I don't mess around with it in a way. Just play him where he should be most comfortable.
Yeah.
Going back to a bit about Watford, sometimes these games can actually suit us. The likes of Watford and Bournemouth and plays like that, because they don't just sit low block and park the bus. They try to have a go, and when they've not got the quality to really play expansive football to the quality that we can, there's a bit more space for us to manipulate and create a lot more chances. And that's another reason as to why this game will suit Keita if you're playing a bit more centrally.
No, I agree. Yeah. I've gone with Hendo Fabinho as my 4-2-3-1 that midfield, and I've put Hendo in there purely because I really feel like Gini's played too much football this season.
Everton at the weekend as well.
You know what I mean? And I really feel like it's one of them. Henderson and Fabinho have been good in there together as well. I can't remember what game it was, but they played really well. Obviously, Gini Fabinho, that's the best. That is really just unbelievably good, and I enjoy seeing that. But I just feel like Henderson can do that job just as well. He's a good little breakup player, and it kind of lets Fabinho go a bit more further forward. I'd like to see them balls over the top. We haven't really spoke about Sadio Mane. I really feel like he's going to step it up here. He was the one who, when Salah wasn't playing well, when Bobby wasn't playing well, it was him doing the business there, and he was just anonymous in the United game for me. I really feel like if we let them drop in a bit more, so I've got Mane and Shaqiri on the wings with Salah up top, I'd want to see them drop in, let Keaton and Salah be like the link in the middle. That Firmino's so good when he's in that 10, picking the ball up and turning and feeding people. But I want to see Shaqiri and Mane drop in. Mane's the one who runs at people. Shaqiri's the one who plays the ball over the top to Mane and stuff like that. I really like this 4-2-3-1. The 4-3-3 obviously has its benefits and stuff, and yes, it is fluid, but I just feel like if we can... That was when Shaqiri was at his best for me, when he first came into the side and we just kind of let him have the ball and then play off people. And Bobby Firmino is a blow, and like, we're working off the assumption that he's not playing, and it's massive.
I wouldn't risk him anyway.
Yeah,
you wouldn't play him at all, even if he was...
No, he's had some sort of knock. He left Old Trafford on crutches.
Yeah,
to rush him back.
He rolled his ankle.
Yeah, to rush
him back.
They're
them ones where they... Yeah. Like,
you just exacerbate it. You're going to play him on Wednesday.
You just need a few days. Is it, as long as you, like, I've done it on nights out. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I've done it, and where you wake up the next morning and it's like, what? Yeah.
Throwing cheeks.
Yeah, having a good boogie.
So you're not falling downstairs?
No. Just when you stumble or whatever. But you know what I mean? You wake up the next day and you can barely walk on it. You just need a few days to get over it. I think with the Everton game at the weekend, just keep him ready for that.
No shouts for Milner?
No, I think
you
need to
rest. No one? Do you reckon he? If he doesn't play this one, he comes in for Everton. Like you're talking about the combative stuff. Do you reckon he comes in there for that?
At some level, I don't think he'll start because I think Trent is a set. You know, he's a local lad. He plays in the Merseyside derby. Mm-hmm. Again, it all depends on injuries and whatever.
But I'm talking about midfield, not even.
Yeah, forward. Well, even midfield though. Even again, if he's injuries, yeah. But I think Gini, Keita, Fabinho, Henderson are all ahead of him.
Yeah,
in midfield. But again, I think there's a case if someone's. Again, knackered, 60, 70 minute. I think he plays a part, particularly, well, if you're losing, again, his experience comes into play of going, actually, you know, lad, step it up because he plays a big role in doing that. And again, equally, if you're winning, his experience at this business end of the season, particularly for City, going up, he knows mentally what to do and he'll bring that in-game management. And I'm just saying, either calm the fuck down or let's go and push on for something.
No, that's fair. I mean, the same day as us, we've got some rival fixtures. Arsenal play Bournemouth, Arsenal at home. Chelsea versus Spurs, that's gonna be a mad one. Palace versus Man United, and then Man City versus West Ham are playing at the same time of us. Leanne, we spoke at the very start, we need to bounce back from the United stuff. We need to, now, we can't really afford any more slip-ups. You expect Man City there to go and beat West Ham. We just need to go out, don't we, and stay at the top. We've earned this one point at the top by us being just unbelievably brilliant and overperforming, in my opinion. We just need to carry that on, don't we, and keep the pressure on City, even though we're ahead.
Yeah, I think the United game's a weird one because it was actually, I was very frustrated after the game just because of the manner of the performance. But a lot of people are saying, you know, at this point in the season, if at the start of the year you'd said Liverpool are going to be top in February by a point against this Manchester City team, you'd have bitten your hand off. And a point at Old Trafford is never, ever a bad point, but it was the manner of the performance. Yeah. It was the frustration overshadowing that point. And Klopp was furious the whole 90 minutes. I've never seen him like that before. So he needs to kind of channel that and channel it into the players to get them riled up for this game. And I think we need to see a performance like Bournemouth where Keita is bursting through the lines. We were talking earlier about how he's the creative link. And for example, his ball for Bobby in the build-up to that third goal against Bournemouth was brilliant. And that's where players like Shaqiri and Mane need to step up and respond now.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have that against Manchester United. There were no runners. But I think it's kind of the prime opportunity because Merseyside derby coming up, the fans are going to be up for that. The players will always be up for that. Yeah. This is the in-between. This is the one, actually, that you're kind of more nervous for than a Merseyside derby because it's all on the players to respond.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. I mean, Ben, do you see West Ham doing us any kind of favours or is it on us?
I think, I don't think City were great yesterday in the cup final. You know, and they, like we discussed in the office before, you know, they played an extra half an hour.
Yeah.
Fernandinho went off injured, Laporte went off injured. Where they're up to, I don't know. I don't think it's out of the question. I think I expect City to win, as I always do when they're at home. But you know, West Ham can be quite hot and cold. They don't tend to be as good as away as they are at home. And obviously, this is at City. But also, you've got the fact that Pellegrini coming back. He won't want to just roll over, really, because at the time, you know, when he left, Man City was pretty much let go of for no reason other than they were going to get Guardiola. So I imagine there's a little bit of, you know, he'll feel as if he's got something to prove. Overall, I expect City to go out and win. But the last time we actually played in parallel with City was Boxing Day when they lost to Leicester, and you know, and that helped the crowd a lot. You know, when that was good, wasn't it? So you know, it could be the same, but I do expect City to win. Yeah.
And then obviously, I mean, you used to do the Around the League show, fantastic. Go and watch that as well. But you will be speaking about Chelsea and stuff like that.
Got a special guest this week, Tom.
Oh, could it be?
Yeah, <I'm> ta-da!
boss. But yeah. Chelsea v Spurs, do you reckon we need to even think about that one? I mean, Spurs...
Spurs didn't do themselves any favours, did they, by losing to Burnley? I don't know what's going to happen with Pochettino. He's going to get a game ban. I think it might be too soon for that to come in. But it strikes if their heads have gone, in some respects. And again, Chelsea, after yesterday...
Who knows? Who's in goal?
But Kep is playing up front, just because he feels like it. But they've got massive problems going on. I think Spurs have lost far too many games now to be considered up until the weekend. I said definitely you can't write them off, which again is kind of, no pun intended, spurred us on to kind of push our levels and City to push their levels as well. I mentioned this morning that thing with Neil Atkinson of just saying, stop saying people are bottlers or people are rubbish. This is the best Premier League race to the standard, or even to, well, even before the Premier League, that there's ever been. Yeah. And obviously, certainly in our lifetimes, it's the best ever been. You need to appreciate that we've got good quality teams around us. But Chelsea, Spurs, well, someone's got to drop points at some level, haven't they? So it's fine. It's quite a nice fixture for us, to be honest.
Yeah, no, it is fair. I mean, score predictions, Ben?
3-1 Liverpool.
2-0 Liverpool.
Nice, clean sheet.
2-0, yeah.
2-0?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna go 4-0.
Fuck.
I reckon that our attack's just gonna click. I really do. I feel like
I thought that I didn't sound too arrogant though, going, yeah, we'll smash him. Really want to.
No, I think we've got it in our locker. I think we really are good at football. We've just come up against two fantastic defences in the past few days, and Watford are not as good defensively. What was it, 34 goals conceded?
35, yeah.
35 goals conceded this season. Let's add another 4 on top of that and keep steamrolling and go on to the Merseyside derby with massive smiles on our faces. I cannot wait. But yeah, let us know your score predictions in the comments below. Let us know who you want to play. Let us know if you agree or disagree with everything we've talked about. We haven't even talked about Lallana. Tell us what you think. I'm guessing the answer is no. But yeah, look, thank you everyone for watching. It's just nice to not talk about a 0-0. That really just, I didn't like that. But yeah, thank you everyone for watching. Thank you everyone on the couches. Go and watch the Around the League. It is, it's good. They're getting all, they're going to talk about loads of stuff about Chelsea.
Talk about Kepa.
Yeah. It's mad. It is unbelievable. But yeah, go and watch that. And we'll see you next time.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.